I will ask you to stand once again as you are able. If you can't stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A pastor and author named Ronald Higdon. And I love the way he said it, so I just wanted to give you the quote. The mission of the church in America is not only to save souls, it is also to save people from a life without calling. The church through Jesus must save its people from a life of meaningless, unfulfilling, empty work. We all are called. You know, we tend to think of a calling as something that happens to preachers. You know, we don't usually think of it in any other term. So, one of the things that we try to discern when someone comes before us and says, I feel called to be a pastor. Well, sometimes we find out that people feel a calling for sure, but it's not always to be a pastor. You have to go through that. You have to discern what your calling is. But I got news for you, folks. Every human being on this planet has a calling. And yes, that means you. You are called. You notice that the scripture we just, what did that scripture say? Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Who did that leave out? Nobody. We all are called, and we're all gifted in that call. We've all got it. And it's all different. Peggy wasn't called to be me, and I wasn't called to be Peggy. Even our beautiful identical twins, Claire and Lydia, they look a lot alike, but they're different. One is very analytical, and the other one's real cuddly. And they're so fun, and one of them grins all the time, and the other one just looks at you like, what do you think? I'm just not sure I'm falling for this. It is absolutely, they're going to make such a great pair. They're going to be such great partners because they share so much in their sisterhood, but they already, at their young age, have different personalities. They're going to see the world, and they are bringing different gifts. Matthew and David have different gifts. All of us do. No matter how genetically close we are, we're all different. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard a parent say of their youngest child, if I'd had this one first, there wouldn't have been any more. And I've told you all often that my sister Sherry and I, we look a great deal alike. The older we get, the more we look alike. But the only thing that we really share in common is we are both carbon-based life forms. Sherry and I couldn't be more different. We really couldn't. We bring different gifts to the world. And just like Claire and Lydia are a great team, it takes all of us together in our calling to make the body of Christ. It takes all of us. The problem is everybody has a calling, but not everyone fulfills that calling. Not everybody fulfills it. And why is that? Why is it that some people don't fulfill their calling? Now, some people may say, I don't know what mine is. I don't really buy that. Because God wants you to know what it is, so he's going to tell you if you'll listen. Now, you might have to work through something. But if you want to know what your gifts are, and you want to know what your calling is, God wants you to know too. So he's going to let you know what it is. So why aren't people fulfilling it? Well, the biggest reason is a lot of people belittle their gifts. Most of them know that, well, I've got this gift, you know. But what is that? What is that? You know, it's not really anything. Lynn Bishop makes the best loaf of bread on the planet.
Amen.
Now, that's a gift. And if she decided that, you know, well, that gift isn't anything. It's not anything. And, you know, she quit making bread. Think of the suffering, Lynn. But there is no insignificant gift, or God wouldn't have given it to you. Whatever you have been gifted in, both your natural talents and your spiritual gifts are to be used for the glory of God and to serve your fellow beings. Don't belittle it. There's nothing small. One of the things that, just personally, that bothered me when I was younger was, since we couldn't have children, that my mark on the planet was going to be not much. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, when you leave those children behind you, you hope, you know, that you've added something to the world, you've added something to the mix that, you know, is going to leave something indelible. All of us came from thousands and thousands of years of ancestors. But, you know, that stopped with me. And it really, I was dismayed by that. I was saddened by that. You know, because I really felt like, well, the world's not going to be changed all that much. But I remembered something. Matthew chapter 10, it's at the very end. Don't know the verse, but it's at the very end of Matthew 10. It says that even a cup of water offered in Christ's name makes a difference in the world. Everything that we do in his name is an indelible, eternal thing. It's wonderful. Don't belittle your gift, because every small thing and every great thing, it doesn't make one bit of difference. Your gift is important, and it does make a difference. You know, when I stand before God one day, He's not going to look at me and say, you know, why weren't you a preacher like T.D. Jakes? You know, why didn't you have people responding to you and, you know, have as many conversions as at a Billy Graham crusade? He's not going to say that. You know, I am not worried that God is going to tell me that I wasn't as good a preacher as T.D. Jakes. What I am worried about is God's going to, you know, I'm going to be standing there and God's going to say to me, why weren't you the best Susan you could be? Because I made you with everything you need. I gave you every gift and talent that you needed for the calling that I called you to. And it's the same with you. God's not grading on the curve. All he's asking is for us to be us. So I don't have to worry that I can't hit a note as high as Betty. I don't actually have to worry the fact that a lot of times I don't even hit the note. We call it joyful noise and move on. But I have to do what God gave me. The problem is when we look and compare ourselves to other people, we get a low self-esteem. And I don't care who you are, there's always somebody better than you at whatever you're doing. It doesn't make any difference. There is no one in this room who is the very best at whatever they do. There's always somebody on this planet somewhere who's doing it better. The only person you should compare yourself to is yourself. Am I better today than I was yesterday? Am I better today than I was last year? Am I making progress? Am I getting there? Now, that's a legitimate comparison. But that low self-esteem from saying, you know, I'm not like so-and-so, that is the death knell for your calling. Because if you don't feel like that you can do it, you don't care anymore. And you quit. By the way, that's the definition of failure. Not that you didn't get there yet, but that you quit trying to get there. That's failure. As long as you're still trying, you'll eventually win. It's inevitable. Just as sure as the sun coming up. The only failure is to stop trying. The good news is, if you're sitting there with a nearly dead or dead gift, you don't have to worry about it because God is in the resurrection business. His voice calls that which is dead to life. And all of those things that we've let slide, all of that stuff that we coulda, woulda, shoulda, you can let all that go and just be called to life. You can start from where you are right this moment and still get to where you're supposed to be. Remember, because you're not comparing yourself to anybody else. You just got to keep moving to be you. If you're not you, who are you going to be? See, that's the one thing. Now, see, I just cut out anybody who, when I ask you to do something, says, oh, I can't do that. That just flew right out the window, boys and girls. Because you might say, now that is not my gift. But if you ever tell me that, then you have to follow it up with my gift is. I gotcha. Because you're all called to serve. You're all called to a calling. Very good. Was that not good? But it also says to live up to that calling. To live up to your calling, you have to be humble, not self-deprecating, humble. You have to be gentle. And here's the kicker, folks. You have to be patient. You have to be patient with yourself, and you have to be patient with other people. Now, was that not good? You know, I really didn't pay these kids, but they're great. They got those sound effects exactly right. Because, let's face it, how many of us truly are patient? Let me see the hands of the patient people. That's good. We don't have any liars in the congregation today. We're not patient. We're not patient with ourselves. We're not patient with other people. You know, we want our fast food to be faster. We want our internet to run faster. Yeah, I heard a couple of amens out there. We want everything and we want it now. And that's part of our problem. It's because not just us folks, but the generations that we're bringing up don't understand that you have to have patience to achieve anything. Nobody ever got anything that was worth anything immediately. It all takes time. So we have to be gentle and patient with ourselves and gentle and patient with other people. Because, you know, God's not done with them yet either. It's not easy. And I'm not saying that it's easy. What I'm telling you folks is possible. I'm not here to tell you that there's no problem. Just go out and do it. I'm here to tell you that it's possible. That's what faith is. Seeing the possibility when it hasn't actually happened yet. I'm glad God hasn't given up on me. Sometimes I'm surprised by that. A lot of times I'm surprised by that because, you know, I think I would have given up on me a long time ago. But he hasn't. And I keep striving to be the best Susan I can be with what he has called me to be. And that's the same thing he asks of you. Are you going to do it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Susan?
Mm-hmm.